Jane going to be here?
She's here.
Ah, thank you.
City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Here.
I'd like to remind folks, prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Agenda item 46, revised provisions relating to prohibited conduct in parks.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor Potter, members of the council. This is the second hearing on updates to City Code Section 20.12, prohibited conduct in Portland parks. We last met on this. We had our first hearing on November 29th, and as expected, that caused a wide array of discussion on some specific issues and interests that needed time to be discussed and addressed. To that end, in the intervening time, staff in City Hall, the Parks Bureau, representatives of the ACLU, the Oregon Law Center, join the Police Bureau, our business community, and the District's Attorney's Office have met twice to work through the items that were discussed on the 29th. First off, and I'll run through the proposed changes we're making as a result of those discussions in a substitute that I'll make a motion to offer at the conclusion of my remarks. We heard quite a bit about the exclusion section of this code, and I had proposed no changes to this section in the language that we had before us on the 29th, and substantively that does remain the case. However, out of these two meetings came the idea of adding a requirement that the exclusion notices contain clear instructions on how they can be appealed to the city's hearings officer. This made sense, and so we've put that into the new code. I've also committed to convene a work group on parks exclusion issues starting in February. I have a lot to learn about this section of the code and look forward to these discussions, and we'll see where they lead to, whether it's for further changes or not. Some of the other items that have been changed that also attracted council's attention, of course, Harry Auerbach can explain in more detail. We heard from the mayor a concern about Section 20.12.030, misuse of parks facilities. That section has been deleted, and we are sticking with the current language in the code. Commissioner Adams brought up the desire for an electric-assisted bicycle provision, and that has been added to this code. And I had proposed in the original code that we not allow sex offenders convicted of crimes against children at our public pools and playgrounds. This issue brought up numerous scenarios and complications with the status of different individuals and their rights. I believe we've created a good set of regulations here in this new substitute. In layman's terms, the new prohibition encompasses only adult offenders, not juveniles, whose victims were 16 or younger, but does not include offenders whose victim was less than 3 years in age difference or biologically related. The scenario I believe that Commissioner Leonard had raised was the example of a 20-year-old banned due to his conviction over a consenting relationship with a 17-year-old. Under this new language, that person would be exempt from the ban from our pools and playgrounds. That's a quick rundown of the major changes made. Again, further discussion and testimony and is welcome today. I would ask, and I will move the substitute in a second, but I would ask that the final vote, since this is a substitute, we're going to have one more reading of this at least, and I would ask that be held on January 24th, since I will not be here next Wednesday. So with that, I would like to move substitute. It's called Substitute A, or Exhibit A.
Second. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
So I don't know procedurally when you'd like me to propose what I have passed out, what would be best for you.
This would probably be the appropriate time. And also, Harry Auerbach has an amendment also that he wants. to add.
You're a commissioner, so you can go first. But we are recommending one more change to the ordinance itself that I'd like.
Not related to the smoking.
Not related to this.
Why don't we do that first?
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Potter, members of the council. I'm Harry Auerbach from the city attorney's office. I can answer any questions you might have about the specifics of the changes to Exhibit A, other than the general description that Commissioner Saltzman has given you. But there was one issue that came up in the last couple of days that has caused us to recommend a change to the text of the ordinance itself, and that's been the proposal has been handed out to you by the clerk. And the issue is what happens to exclusions or in some case warnings, exclusions, or prosecutions that arose under the existing regulations before the new regulations go into effect. And so we proposed an amendment that essentially provides that people who have exclusions, those exclusions are still in effect, even if they were issued under the old code. We're not invalidating any previously issued exclusions, and that in terms of counting toward future exclusions, they count as exclusions, and warnings are still warnings, and we're not invalidating anybody's prosecution. So that amendment is the one that says amend the ordinance to add Section B, and nothing in the repeal or replacement of Chapter 2012 or otherwise in this ordinance shall adversely affect the validity of any notice, warning, exclusion, prosecution, or conviction based on conduct occurring before the effective date of this ordinance, but all exclusions in effect as of the effective date shall remain in effect until by their terms they expire, and all warnings and exclusions issued before the effective date of this ordinance shall otherwise have the same effect as if they'd been issued on or after the effective date of the ordinance. So I'd recommend that you move and adopt that amendment to the ordinance.
Questions?
So moved.
Second. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Other than that, Mark Warrington from Parks and I are here to answer any questions you have about what's...
And we may in this other discussion that's coming up, so if you could maybe...
I'll
make yourself available.
Thank you.
So I would move the proposed amendment to item 46... I'm in Chapter 2010 on my letterhead that would prohibit smoking in any smoking of any tobacco product in any park. And if I can get a second, I'll discuss it and then give my reasoning, and we can go from there.
I'll second for discussion.
I'm proposing this really so. Primarily, we can have a discussion about what I consider to be a very important topic, and one that I've a subject that I've had some pretty strong feelings about for most of my adult life. Cigarette smoking, I think by now, has been accepted by most to be hazardous to one's health. I think most of us also accept that that's an individual choice, and I don't quarrel with that. Where I guess I do part ways with some in the community is I don't think that individual choice should affect my choice not to smoke. So that if I'm in a public place, I really don't think it's another person's right to do anything, and in this case it's cigarette smoking, that interferes with my right not to breathe smoke in the air. There are some cities that have bans on cigarette smoking in bars and restaurants. Unfortunately, we don't have the capability of doing that under current state law in Portland. This is an attempt by me to at least bring this forward so we can discuss the possibility of doing that in areas where children play, where the elderly recreate, and certainly where groups come together for picnics or baseball games or that kind of a thing. Having said that, I did want to propose this in this form to discuss it, but I have discussed with some of my colleagues hear some variations of this that may include less restrictive kinds of language than a total ban in parks. Being a realist, I'm always interested in doing not just what I'd like to do, but what's possible to do. So if there is some desire on the part of the council to discuss something less than what I proposed here, I certainly am open to doing that. And I want to also preface this by saying that this has been an excellent process that Commissioner Saltzman has headed. I really appreciate the language that he helped craft with respect to the overarching prior language on prohibitions of sex offenders in parks. So that's a really a positive step, and I felt really good about that. I also appreciate his position on the banning of smoking in Pioneer Courthouse Square. So to the extent anybody thinks that Commissioner Saltzman and I are at odds on this, we're not. I just am simply wanting to expand his effort farther than what it was. And I understand some of his concerns and am, I guess, looking here for some opportunity for us in this forum to see if there's any interest in any extension beyond the Pioneer Courthouse Square ban into parks, and if so, to what extent.
Now, I haven't made my mind up, but one of the things I would perhaps ask Commissioner Saltzman to respond to is if it's appropriate to ban smoking in Pioneer Courthouse Square because of the congregation of people, why wouldn't it be appropriate to do it in all the parks?
Well, I guess I'll offer my reasons, and it's really up to the council to decide. But Pioneer Courthouse Square is the only square block within our 10,000-acre park system that has the possibility of attracting densities of up to 10,000 to 20,000 people. So I think that's one compelling reason. The other reason is that it's enforceable in Pioneer Square. I believe Pioneer Square has its own security. My concern about a ban on smoking in all parks is it's really not readily enforceable. And that's going to, I think, I worry that that will create conflict among citizens, and they'll be expecting somebody to sort of intervene and direct people to stop smoking, and there aren't going to be those people around to do that. I also have concerns that it can lead to selective law enforcement, frankly, is that it's kind of almost an irresistible pretext stop in some cases. If you're, you know, if you want to get into somebody, if you want to mess with somebody, you know, go after them on the smoking. And it's also contradictory, I think, to many of the policy directions we're pursuing with respect to the SAFE program of encouraging people to sit on our park benches rather than our sidewalks. So that's another concern. It also, I believe, places our golf courses and Portland International Raceway at a competitive disadvantage, particularly PIR, because it is a venue that, you know, we compete to be selected for races with other cities across the country. And I think that that could hurt the revenue and the contribution PIR makes to our economy in terms of jobs. So those are really the reasons that I would not support a citywide ban at this time, or a ban in all of our 10,000 acres of open spaces at this time.
In the last summer, I was out at PIR, and I noticed there were thousands of people sitting up on the grass, and it looked as dense as some of the gatherings I've seen at Pioneer Courthouse Square. They seem to have some events out there that have the same kind of density in their stands and in the grassy knolls that Pioneer Courthouse Square would have.
Well, as I said, you know, PIR has to compete as a venue with other raceways throughout the country. And if we ban smoking there, that could cost us foregone revenues, foregone economic contributions.
And what are the possibilities at PIR and the golf courses, which are different than a park in terms of their operations? What is the feasibility or practicality of having smoking sections in? I'm just talking about golf courses in PIR right now. Is it possible to have, like, recently was at, you go to hospitals, Been to some hospitals lately, and they all have smoking sections in the hospital, and it's always cognitive dissonance for me, but is it possible that there could be a smoking area at PIR and or the golf courses?
I think that's probably possible. I'm not sure about how that would play out at golf courses. I mean, people play on the same fairways and greens.
And I will tell you, in the original draft of the amendment, I actually had, as Harry will tell you, excluded golf courses, but then started getting some feedback about that and the perception of that. And I just made a decision at that point to bring this in this format so we could all to do what we're doing, have this discussion. And then, I mean, I think you're making great arguments, and I'm not necessarily unopposed to doing something substantially different than what this amendment says, but I would like to do something more than just the Pioneer Courthouse Square, I guess is what
I have two ideas to put on the table.
If now would be a good time to do it. We're just discussing it, so
one is to put in keen off your playground 25 feet, which I like, is to do that for picnic tables, which are different than benches. Doesn't matter whether they're covered or not, but there are a limited number of picnic tables in our parks, and they're usually pretty close together. So if one table is smoking, everybody's smoking. If I'd like your thoughts on, or my colleague's thoughts on, whether that's practical and desirable. And then the other is to give the sponsor of a park-permitted event, which means you sign up for an event and you sign up for a location-specific event, to give that sponsor the ability to make it a non-smoking event if they wanted, and to, I think also, I think it might be useful if the parks director had administrative authority to say that they want an event to be smoke-free as well. If it's a kids-oriented event or whatever, even if the sponsor doesn't necessarily ask for it. So I offer sort of those 2.5 ideas for a discussion.
Well, I think those ideas are more doable than a complete ban at this time, and I would support those.
So that I understand, picnic tables within how many feet did you say?
The same as the
25 feet.
Same as the kids.
And then it would be optional according to the permittee to request whether it be a smoke-free or not.
And or the parks director could mandate that it be.
Or the parks director could mandate.
Right, based on a variety of, you know, let's say tinting and crowds and whatever else.
Because
I was going to say, what about the golf courses and PIR then?
Well, mine don't address
well,
that.
I could.
Separate ideas.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have another hearing on this. I can certainly look into the idea of a smoke-free areas at PIR, at least get back to council on that and let us decide at that next reading.
And I was also going to, the other example, I thought it was in Tomacall Waterfront Park, like the Blues Festival is held there. And it's a huge congregation of people. So, I mean, obviously my predilection would be to not allow it there, but is what you're suggesting that the organizers of the Blues Festival could request that, or the parks director could mandate that?
Correct.
Okay.
And then that would give the
mandate that
no
what?
Smoking.
No smoking.
Smoke-free.
Rather than mandating smoking, but allowing festival organizers to have an area designated smoking.
I'm assuming that what Commissioner Adams is proposing would give the parks director that kind of discretion, something in between.
Correct. And that then allows for us to enforce the permit, as opposed to just, let's say, the security of the permittee.
May I ask a question and then maybe make an observation? My question is, Commissioner Adams, if I understand what you're suggesting with the 20 within 25 feet of picnic tables, that's in addition to and not a substitute for the other
Correct.
Limitations that are proposed.
Right.
I would point out that subsection, as we've currently drafted it, also says that no person shall smoke in any other place in any park where smoking is prohibited by the director. So we're contemplating that the director will have the authority that
okay.
you're suggesting that she should have to limit other areas. And the one other thing that, I mean, you could include it again, but I think when the council adopted the ordinance on prohibited conduct at permitted events, one of the things that's prohibited, as I recall, is smoking in places other than where the permittee has designated them.
I guess so I'm thinking about, having been through the permitting reform some years ago, if the form itself, you know, does or could say smoking allowed, not allowed, or designated in certain places on the permitted, on the form itself, I think that would really bring this alive much more. I think most people would, sponsors would probably choose non-smoking.
Okay, so we
could. I like having this very, in addition to that language that's already there, this language Commissioner Adams is proposing for that reason as well.
Okay.
Commissioner Leonard, what's the ORS that you listed in your third?
It is the prohibition against passing local governments from passing ordinances affecting the rights of smoking in bars or restaurants.
Preemption.
It's a limited preemption by the legislature. They've told us that there are certain places that you can't ban smoking. And so to make sure that we don't run afoul of preemption, that's why he...
I wish more Portlanders knew that we don't have the authority to regulate smoking in bars and restaurants. We don't have that.
Well, but that would go to the restaurants at a golf course, one of our golf courses, too, that they could smoke there.
Which is why that...
Right. Why you inserted that.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, I'm actually, if Commissioner Saltzman wants to look at this more, that's fine. But can we have something drafted that would be back next week with some options in it that we can, or the 25th when?
24th
when?
Commissioner Adams.
24th is Wednesday, and that's when you want it to come back? Okay.
Or it could be, I guess it could be a Thursday.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure that, because I thought you said you weren't going to be here on Wednesday. That's why I was a little confused.
We'll be here next Wednesday. But.
So specifically, you're going to look at the PIR thing on the golf course then.
Okay.
And then, but the other, am I hearing that the other...
Are we adopting Commissioner Adams' recommendations today then?
That's what I'm asking. Okay. Is if that's the understanding that I have, that we can extend what you've proposed to the picnic tables within 25 feet, and then the sponsor of park-related, park-permitted events, or to give discretion of the parks director to mandate non-smoking areas.
So if we can adopt those today, and then on the 24th, come back on the PIR and golf course issues.
Right.
Okay.
So you have playgrounds and picnic tables?
Playgrounds, picnic tables, where prohibited by a permit holder or the director.
Those are two separate things.
Right.
Right. And I just want to be clear, there's a... make sure that there's a distinction, and I've been told that we can between a bench and a picnic table, which is sitting and a table in front of you.
So procedurally, you have a motion. You have Commissioner Leonard's motion on the amendment on the table right now. You neither.
I was actually going to withdraw that
and
move conceptually Commissioner Adams' amendment. With the understanding that we'll look at the actual language, the final language, when it comes back.
I would just point out that if you don't actually adopt the amendment until the next reading, then you've got to bring the package
back.
That's
why I was going to actually move. Can we do that conceptually?
So you can move to amend that subsection C. So it says, no person shall light or smoke any tobacco products within 25 feet of any play structure, picnic table, or designated children's play area, or where prohibited by a permit holder, or in any other place in any park where smoking is prohibited by the director.
So that captures?
That, as I understand it, captures what you all have talked about here.
With the consent of my second, I'll withdraw the motion.
And then I will
move the... that the language is as articulated by Deputy City Attorney Auerbach.
Second.
That more discussion?
Yeah. Did that address the issue about coming back then with PIR?
I'll definitely come back on the 24th with more information about the pros and cons.
And then if you make any more changes, then you'll have to bring it back. So you may decide to pass what you've got and look at further amendments in light of further discovery, whatever other information you come up with, I think there's some interest in getting the package at least adopted at some point so we can move forward.
Did I hear a second question?
I think Sam seconded.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that amendment, and I think that's tight enough that it fits with the package that we're doing here today. I have some sympathy for Commissioner Leonard's broader proposal. I need to think it through more. I don't think it's an amendment to a specific set of changes in park law. I mean, I think it's a major change in park law, and we ought to, if we were going to ban smoking in all parks, we ought to have a hearing on that, and it ought to be better noticed than that's the proposal on the table. I mean, because I think it is a big piece, and people ought to have more of a chance to weigh in on it than they would process-wise the way it came about. I'm just curious, Harry, I'm not proposing this, but I'm curious if we would have any kind of legal basis to enact some sort of basic rule that says you can smoke in a park if you're not in any of the things that are already prohibited, close to playground, et cetera, and as long as you're within a reasonable distance from everybody else. I mean, I'm trying to get at something that I actually believe people can monitor behavior better than police when it's certain types of things, and it would give somebody a legal basis to say, you know, you're not allowed to smoke next to me. It would also give smokers some sense that, you know, if they make the choice to smoke, don't harm others with it, but they do pay for those parks as well, and conceivably if there's nobody within 100 yards of you and you're sitting on a walking through a park, do I need to prohibit you from smoking? My basis from prohibiting you isn't that I'm trying to stop you from mm-hmm. smoking. That's between you and others. I might warn you not. My basis is that I shouldn't be breathing it. And so would there be any legal basis to pursue the idea of sort of a basic rule that you have to be, we'd have to figure out what could you justify as a number of feet, and then could you say that that's the conduct that's allowed in parks is to smoke when you're away from other people?
I'm not aware of any reason why you couldn't do that. We'd, of course, want to double check to make sure yeah. that was correct, but I'm not aware of any reason why you couldn't.
Could you bring back something at the same time this analysis is brought back by Commissioner Saltzman on PIR and the golf courses that yeah. would include the appropriate language to capture Commissioner Sten's okay. inquiry? Excellent. I think it's really actually better to where I was trying to get.
I will try to have more definitive information for you on the 24th. And then you'll give some thought, I hope, to what I'm not going to be able to tell you is what the appropriate aura is. So.
Maybe we can, between the two offices and you, can talk about that between now with Sarah Petrosini.
I don't know if there's any, you know, you're out, if there's any agreed to standard for outdoors. As to, you know, obviously the wind's blowing, it's different. But I mean, I would think there's some, like the 25-foot basis.
2 miles.
I mean, we've picked 25 feet away from playgrounds, I think, is what we said, right? So mm-hmm. it would make some sense to say you've got to be 25 feet away from another person.
Who isn't smoking, I presume.
Who isn't smoking. And, you know, this is why I wanted you to think about it. Like, if I choose to stand next to you while you're smoking, I wouldn't think you're violating the rule if... but I don't know if we need to mandate all of that or just assume that will be enforced.
We'll see if there's something workable we can come up with.
If two people are standing together, one is smoking and the other was okay with it, that's not in violation of what I'm trying to get at.
Call a vote.
We want testimony?
Yes, I guess we better have testimony. Are people signed up?
This is on the 25-foot. You have the 25-foot amendment that's still out there that you...
This is on the amendment.
Mm-hmm. On the picnic tables.
Mm-hmm.
And the amendment.
Picnic tables, permit holders, and direct.
Right, and permit.
Okay. Yeah, but they've been moved and seconded. Shouldn't we have public testimony?
Right, you can, yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Before we vote.
On the amendment.
On the amendment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Public testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have six people signed up.
Okay, Mayor, can I have one more discussion point? This is related to my concerns about the smoking ban, which is why I'm going to bring it up now, but I also wanted to kind of mention it because I expect to hear some testimony on it and just wanted to kind of share with the council. I'm really pleased that Commissioner Saltzman it sounds like you're going to yourself do a work group on this issue and on the exclusions, and I'm going to support the exclusions in all likelihood, having worked with people. My concern on the exclusions continues to be, and we had a huge discussion about this at the last hearing, Do we have too many things that can kind of be abused, where it's really a small offense, and it could be used by somebody who wanted to move someone out, kind of against the spirit of the thing? And I think the work group, what I'm looking to have some more discussion about, I think we're going to have some today, is what should the exclusion strategy be specifically with homeless people and people who don't have a lot of choices? Because I think there's kind of two different situations that people are talking about. And it even came up with the smoking ban, because if you're a smoker and you're homeless, you know, where do you go to smoke? You go to a park often. You know, you're trying not to be in front of people and those kind of things. And so it was the question of, you know, we have a 10-year plan to end homelessness, and the strategy is really to try and help people get solutions. We've done a really good job engaging with police to say, okay, when we find a campsite, for example, we most of the time go to join to get help before the police arrest. What I want to make sure we talk about and kind of the work group looks at is, so how do the clean and safe officers and others kind of use this exclusion in a proactive way to try and help on these homeless issues, as opposed to figure out how to exclude people? And I mean, I think that the concern I hear from the advocates isn't so much that, you know, say you've got somebody who clearly shouldn't be in a park, and just common sense, something's going on. There's a bunch of different ways you can exclude them. And in 99% of the parks, that's what happens, because there's no police, there's no enforcement out in the neighborhood parks hour to hour. But something's going on, somebody sees somebody, somebody comes over, the likelihood is there's some reason to exclude them, and that's sort of good common community policing. In the downtown parks, we actually have a paid staff of people, paid in part by us and part by the business, the clean and safe, who have some exclusion authority. And the concern is they use that to sort of keep people who are undesirable out, as opposed to really have really violated something. You know, it's the thing we were talking about last time, you picked a rose or whatever it might be, and technically you can be excluded for a couple of months for that offense. And so I think we should move forward on this, but it's kind of in that same umbrella as, you know, what are we trying to accomplish with the smoking ban in terms of homeless people and other pieces? You know, I'd love to work with you on that and get some experts onto that committee with you and see, because I actually, in talking with Monica and Mark this week, have actually seen that maybe something that seems like it could be just used to harass homeless people in the wrong hands could actually maybe a proactive way to get some points of contact. And you know, I realized in talking about this, our park staff is not trained in the 10-year plan. They don't know what the strategies are, and maybe there's some ways to make some connections there. So a long-winded discussion, but I wanted to frame that a little bit because I think we'll hear about it.
Yeah, those are good points.
I just wonder if it was possible to require a warning for the first time. The warning would not displace a person. They would just have to stop doing what they were doing. And that would then, you know, if they say, no, I'm going to continue doing what I want to do, then that's another issue. But at least if you require a warning the first time, that would preclude them leaving the park if they comply with the park order.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are all good questions, but I think they should be looked at by a work group that would have all the parties at the table, and Commissioner Sten's office, and the point about making sure parks people are aware about the 10-year plan to end homelessness is a good one. Yeah.
Can we have the testimony, please?
Come up three at a time. Our first three are Ken Kirkham, Pam Arden, and Thomas Madison.
Okay. Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Ken Kirkham, regards to the proposed 20.12.050 possession of weapons. The wording in it is interesting. There's already a law in regards to firearms in the park contained in PCC 14A.60.010. And allowing the ordinance to pass as currently written may subject the language of the park's ordinance to possible preemption challenge by law enforcement officers and others statutorily exempt persons under the ORS 166-173 or not exempt from the language of the park's ordinance. So it's incomplete in its discussion. And the concern would be that it could have the entire ordinance struck down because it does not clearly identify several other entities that are exempt. Stripping out firearms from the proposed code would preserve it from the statutory presumption challenge, and there's no general weapons preemption or weapons rules in the state statute for anything other than firearms. So the firearms are covered under the 14A60.010.
Why don't we hear the testimony and then maybe Harry Auerbach can respond to that. Go ahead. Yeah. We'll hear all the testimony and then we'll bring up back our deputy city attorney.
Yes. Hey, I'm Pam Martin. I'm here today for the 40 Mile Loop Land Trust. We are talking about the section that's 20.12.170, section D, about the motorized appliances. How would you say it? Motorized somethings on trails.
Motor assisted
bicycles.
So I spoke to Commissioner Adams before the hearing about the electric-assisted bicycle. I guess I wasn't aware of what those were. But our concern was the speed of things and on the trails. And we know that bicycles have a chance to go faster than everything else and sometimes do on those trails. And we just have
Unless to, I'm driving the bike.
Yeah. but we're just we do like the idea of making sure that we've got assisted items for people who need them and to have it in the code. Concern about the human personal transporter system, I guess that's the segue, having someone stand up on it. I have a neighbor who uses one of those modified for him to sit on it because he can't stand. So just didn't know how that would then work on it if he is going to be using one of those. So concern about that. So lots of questions, I guess, more than answers. We just were wondering about how this was going to work. A question as I was going through the three-year document was the structures and parks along the Peninsula Crossing Trail. Every time we do a cleanup, we request that the police come and do a sweep through the area because we have people that will camp out there and set up pretty elaborate camps. And so that's one of the things that I'm concerned about with the exclusion strategy about the homeless. How is that going to affect what we're doing right now? Because when you have people camped out along a trail like that, you end up with people, especially the elderly or single women, who are very concerned about walking in areas where they're seeing somebody who is threatening to them. And so you end up with having people not use the park, not use the trail, and then you end up with kind of more camping because they see people aren't going to be out there. So it's a concern of safety for those who are in the neighborhoods who want to use these kind of linear parks for their enjoyment and for getting from one place to the other. And so just a concern about how that will happen. I don't know if this is going to be part of your discussion, Commissioner Sten, that you just mentioned, but how will that work? Will it still be that the officers can be giving them a 24-hour notice before our cleanups to say, move on, and the parks workers, when they're out there every week, if they see evidence of camping, they will end up going and giving them the same kind of warning that you shouldn't be here and somewhere else. Does that mean that the parks people need training as to who to contact? I don't know. But questions, because that's a constant that we have to deal with. And when we're trying to create new trails like along the Willamette Greenway, that's going to be another secluded spot where people could end up with having a nice camping area. So concerns, questions? I don't know if that's more than an answer on our part. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Henry Madison. I'm from Northeast Portland, and I'm here to discuss the sex offender portion of the ordinance that's before us today. I have a prepared statement, and I'll read that. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before the council today in regards to protecting our children against persons who may threaten them in our city's parks and pools. I want you to know that as a registered sex offender, I have already endangered myself, my family, and my job simply by coming here today to speak to you. As most people are aware, sex offender mania has swept the country. There isn't a day that goes by without some kind of sex offender story that heads up the soundbite evening news. We are all familiar with the marketing phrase, sex sells. But most people would not consider the fact that in the electronic news business, where money is king, sex offender news really sells. Our society has had a steady diet of hype and sensationalism regarding sex offenses over the last 20 years. It is no wonder that hysteria has overcome logic and common sense in this area. You, as City of Portland lawmakers, can do all citizens a great service by not passing laws that are based on ignorance, fear, and hysteria. Instead, you can draft laws that truly protect Portland's children by providing resources to those persons who have by focusing scarce law enforcement resources on those persons who have been either clinically diagnosed as pedophiles or those who have been convicted of multiple reoffenses. Here are some stats that most people are simply not aware of. There are two of them. Registered sex offenders have the second lowest rate of all major criminal reoffense rates of all major criminal categories, and that's quite the opposite of what you typically hear from America's politicians across the land. The second item is that, and get this, 95% of all the brand new sex offenses that will be committed by someone in the future will not be committed by someone who is now a registered sex offender. These two facts are obtainable at the U.S. Justice Department. Today in other cities, former sex offenders are being forced out of their jobs, homes, and ending up in financial ruin, even as homelessness tends to cause further problems for those families. The truth is, we are not the monsters that the media has made us out to be. Most of us did something stupid and paid a great price for it. A wrong was done, and it was paid for, and that should be the end of it. Healthy communities are self-healing. Unhealthy communities pass laws that ban, ostracize, and isolate members of their society. What kind of city is Portland going to be? Thank you.
Let's work that on Fifth Street. Thank you, sir. We have three more witnesses to go through.
Our next three are Diane Lafter, Kylie Miner, and Mark Jolin.
Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes. We'll begin on this side.
I'm Kylie Miner, and I am the coordinator of the Multnomah County Health Department Tobacco Prevention Program. And I'd like to help put today's proposal to ban smoking throughout or in parts of Portland parks in some context. Last summer, the U.S. Surgeon General concluded that there's no risk-free level of exposure to secondhand smoke. But the report also notes that as of 2 years ago, January 2005, 577 jurisdictions had already passed ordinances prohibiting smoking in outdoor areas. That's not just parks, but also doorways and beaches, for example. These policies are in place not only to protect people from the hazards of secondhand smoke, but also to set a healthy example for youth. And I'd like to point out here that 90% of smokers initiated smoking before the age of 18, half of them between the ages of 12 and 14. It's almost immediately addictive, and so the matter of whether it is an individual choice is debatable. But these policies also reduce litter and fire hazards and prevent infants from discarding ingested cigarette butts. Research shows that smoke-free policies reduce youth initiation of tobacco use and also help smokers quit. And at any given time, 3/4 of smokers do want to quit. This is the reason why the Oregon Statewide Tobacco Control Plan has an objective to increase the number of local ordinances that restrict smoking in outdoor areas to 15. And right now, Oregon has 4 counties and cities that I'm aware of that restrict smoking in parks. And those communities are Sherwood, Northern Wasco County, and Crook County, which have 100% bans in their parks, and Josephine County, which bans smoking in certain areas like playgrounds, athletic grounds, spectator areas, bleachers, that sort of thing, covered picnic areas, concession areas, and in all areas of parks during concerts and other large public events. 85 cities in California prohibit smoking in parks. Some of these are just certain areas. Some of these are complete bans, including San Francisco, which has a complete ban. And in Washington, there are 6 communities that restrict or ban smoking in parks, including our neighbors across the river. Vancouver and Clark County both have policies. At Multnomah County, the main kinds of complaints we've received on this issue have been from the public regarding smoking near the swimming pools and in the sports fields used by schools during youth events particularly. So prohibiting smoking in all outdoor areas that people congregate, in addition to the ones that were listed today, such as swimming pools, athletic grounds, spectator areas, et cetera, even dog parks, would protect people, especially kids, from secondhand smoke. In public health, we have a saying, which is to make the healthier choice the easier choice, and smoke-free parks would make it easier for our community members to stay tobacco-free, to quit smoking, and make it easier for everybody to avoid secondhand smoke. So thank you.
My name is Diane Lauder. I am the Tobacco Program Manager for the American Lung Association of Oregon, and I'm also the Coalition Chair for the Tobacco-Free Tri-Counties. And first of all, we just want to thank you for taking the leadership and moving ahead in such a big way on this issue. Of course, as a tobacco control community, we would like to see 100% smoke-free parks. That's our end goal. But we do understand that moving ahead in an incremental way may make sense. There are two main reasons that we are continuously advocating for smoke-free policies, and that is to avoid secondhand smoke, but also, as Kylie mentioned, the modeling to youth, and it's a very powerful tool. One of the things I want to recommend, and I didn't hear it mentioned, is to include the ball fields in the prohibitions that you're considering. I've spent years and years all over Portland at the soccer fields, and you know, Delta Park, all those fields are all very close together, and I think that including that sends a really strong message to the youth. And these are especially youth, not little kids, but youth that are at the ages that are heavily being targeted by the tobacco industry. Another thing that ties in with that, and I mentioned this last time, but I'll bring it up again, the Lung Association has a contract with the Department of Human Services to work with school districts as they are moving to adopt their own policies that will comply with the state rule that was adopted a couple years ago. And what that says is that no student, staff member, or school visitor is permitted to smoke, inhale, dip, or chew, or sell tobacco at any time, including non-school hours. And then it goes on to say on school grounds, athletic grounds, or parking lots. Many of those school districts are traveling to Portland to play on fields here, and so that becomes kind of a problem. Just one last thing. I just wanted to mention that there, in regards to the closing the loopholes on the smoke-free workplace law and removing preemption, there is a bill that has been drafted and will be making its way through the legislature this year to do that. I think that the governor has given his support with Washington being smoke-free now and California having had such good success. I think that there's a really good chance that this just might happen this year in the legislature. Part of that would be to give you back your ability to pass local ordinances on the issue. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Council. My name is Mark Jolin. I'm the executive director of JOIN, Connecting the Street to a Home. We are a homeless outreach organization that works to move people who are actively sleeping outside, many times in our parks, directly off the streets and into permanent housing. And I came to talk sort of generally about the smoking ban, but I have to say that the direction that the conversation has gone doesn't give me any real concerns, because I think my principal concern was a recognition that in most cases this probably is not enforceable, that the best estimates we have are that about 70% of the people who are sleeping outside are smoking, and they are, by definition, dependent on our public spaces, including our parks and the resources that are available there. It is not a choice for most people. It's an addiction, and unfortunately, like with most addictions that low-income people are struggling with, there aren't the resources in the community to really support them when they're ready to stop. And many homeless people, the surveys indicate, do want to stop smoking, but it's a question of having an opportunity to do so. So my hope in coming here was to look for ways to tailor the prohibition such that homeless people could be in our parks, could access the resources in our parks, even if they continue to be smokers, which so many of them are. And it sounds like that is where the conversation is going right now. I will mention, because Commissioner Sten brought it up, the issue about exclusions and why, for us, the exclusions, whether it's for smoking or for sleeping in the park or any other behavior, become a barrier. The exclusion process, well, let me start again. The process of transitioning off the street for someone who has been outside for a long time is an incredibly fragile one. It often takes us years to engage someone get them to the point, not just where they're financially able to move off the street, but where they're emotionally ready to make the move, where they trust us and trust the system enough to reengage and take the steps that they're going to have to take to get back inside. That fragility, that fragile process is jeopardized every time there's a negative encounter with police or private security, every time that someone gets another trespassing ticket because they violated an exclusion, every time we can't find them because the park that they have historically lived in is now off limits to them, they've been excluded, and we're not able to reconnect with them quickly when a housing opportunity comes up. So the exclusion process and the connected criminal, the connected criminal citations for trespassing in a lot of different ways become barriers to our success working with people to get them off the street. And we work with the police, with officers on the beat. We're working with Clean and Safe right now, trying to help them understand where the tensions lie between their law enforcement objectives and our objectives of trying to get people off the street. And we'll continue to do that and look forward to the to participating in the process around exclusions that, that Commissioner Saltzman has initiated.
Thank you.
Mark, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Sorry.
I'm asking you a question if you had anything you wanted to add.
Beyond this?
Yeah.
I don't have anything
else. You're still going when you got beeped. So.
Yeah, no, that, I'm fine. Thank you.
Is it possible, you mentioned a number of spaces where other cities or counties have banned smoking. You mentioned some of the sports areas and so forth. Is it possible, do you have your copy of your testimony that you could leave with?
Maybe we can make a photocopy. I have a lot of notes on here that I'd like
to
take with me.
Oh, show us your secrets.
Actually, what I could do is, could I email to somebody, and I could email actual ordinances.
Office.
I can email the actual municipal codes of these other communities.
So. If you wouldn't mind carbon in my office as well, I'd carbon copy. I appreciate that.
Carbon copy.
Did I say that?
Could you get a carbon copy for Commissioner?
Is that what CC
like
means?
That's what CC means. Yeah, so
you can deliver it with horse and buggy.
CC means.
Thank you very much, folks.
We have one more person.
Yes.
Monica Goracki.
Good afternoon. I'm Monica Goracki with the Oregon Law Center, and I don't have a whole lot to add. I feel like this discussion's been really helpful, and it was good to be here and hear you all talk about it. As you know, I testified in December along with my colleague Ed Johnson regarding the Oregon Law Center's concerns about renewing the park exclusion sections of the ordinance that was being revised. In particular because of the impact of park exclusions on homeless people, people who are poor, people who, you know, look different. And Mark really well put all the concerns, I think, that we have. And I'm really excited about the work group that you're convening, Commissioner Saltzman. And I feel like it's a great opportunity to have a very substantive and in-depth conversation about the issues that we raised and hopefully to identify some solutions that will both help people work toward ending their homelessness and also help parks be comfortable for everybody to participate in. It seems like that's the bottom line goal. So thanks for convening the group. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to participate. I hope that the smoking conversation will kind of be rolled into that process because it does raise issues that I think Mark put really well. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
That's it. Okay, we have a vote on the amendment.
Well, I think we wanted to have Harry Auerbach respond, at least to the issues about firearms and Pam Arden's concerns about the exclusions as well. I mean, we heard testimony on the sex offender exclusion. I think that's really, you know, I appreciate the testimony. That's really a matter up to us where we come down on it. But there were some legal issues raised about the firearms provision. Did you want
thank you. There aren't any changes that are required to conform this section with the limits on what you can regulate in terms of firearms in public places under state law by the terms of the statute, your regulation simply doesn't apply to those people. If you want to clarify that, you could change the language in 050 that says the prohibitions of this section do not apply to handguns lawfully carried by persons in accordance with valid concealed handgun permits to say lawfully carried by persons exempt from local regulation under ORS 163-173. But it's true whether you do it or don't do it.
Should we make that clarification?
Okay. Do that.
Yeah. I would move that.
Can we have a second motion before the first one's voted?
Well, you actually have one on the table. Yeah, you need
Okay.
You might want to do that after you.
Let's vote on the first motion. Could you read the motion again?
Here, the motion.
Okay. The motion was to amend the proposed 2012 110C to read, no person shall light or smoke any tobacco products within 25 feet of any play structure, picnic table, or designated children's play area, or where prohibited by a permit holder, or in any other place in any park where smoking is prohibited by the director.
Please call a vote.
Adams?
I want to add my... This is the only vote we're taking today, right? Or I go
yes.
Wax,
yep.
Well, waxing on
one more amendment, but
we're going to vote in a second, I think, on the gun.
There'll be one more on the gun.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you and to Commissioner Saltzman and the good folks in the Parks Bureau and Matt and the whole team in the Saltzman's office for your work on this. We went through the permitting code for major events when I was a staffer like 8 years ago, and this kind of work is really hard and thankless, and I do want to thank you for your work in this area. I also want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for pushing on the smoking issue, and while my heart is definitely sort of along with his in terms of wanting to do more in this area, I hope that at least we can move forward in some of these areas in as practical a way as possible. Aye.
Leonard?
And I echo those sentiments as well. These are very difficult things, as evidenced by all the emails we've gotten on both sides of this issue. There are ideological goals that we'd like to achieve, and then there is the real world, and Commissioner Saltzman, unfortunately, is tasked with having to balance ideological goals with real world limitations, and I respect and appreciate that a lot. So this is a good product, and I'm pleased to support all of it, but vote aye on this amendment.
Saltzman?
Well, I just appreciate the comments, and I also want to thank my staff, Matt Grum, and Deputy Chief City Attorney Harry Auerbach, and
him too.
Other people in the Parks Bureau, and we'll get this work group going on the exclusions, and we'll also come back prior to the next reading and maybe final vote on the issues of smoking or non-smoking areas of PIR and the golf course issue and any other questions, people that may come up among council members in those intervening 2 weeks. But appreciate this has been a good process. Aye.
Thanks, Harry. I forgot to thank you, too.
Especially now since Sam's getting a good night's sleep.
That's right. I got a lot of ideas.
Stan.
Well, I also want to be redundant in thanking Harry and the team at Parks and Matt and Commissioner Saltzman and the advocates in the community have worked on this. I think it's a good step forward. It's it makes sense. And actually, I'm really intrigued by the idea of actually using the conversation that Commissioner Saltzman started on exclusions to see how can we better connect with people as well. And, I think Mark made an interesting point about, it's sort of there's a population that often we're excluding that what we need to do is build trust with so we can help them get off the street. There are resources and strategies right now to get people off the street, and nobody thinks that this exclusion is about hassling homeless people. It's not, but those are often people that find themselves in the middle of arguments or situations in the parks, and there are better places for them to be, and I think this is a good starting point towards that. So good work in general, and excited to vote aye.
Potter.
I'm going to vote aye. I feel that... I don't want it to get too cumbersome for park people or police to sort of have to go back and read a list of every time of the areas to be excluded from. It's almost making me think about Commissioner Leonard's original proposal. It may be difficult to actually enforce some of these things if we have